The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors. Got questions concerning elder or estate law? Attorney Mike Connors has the answer. He's been recognized as one of New York's top lawyers by New York Magazine and brings nearly 40 years of experience to the table. His office number is 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Here's Mike Connors.
We are gathered here on hallowed ground.
Welcome to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. First time you listen to the show, hey, welcome aboard. The show is in a couple of different parts. The first part of the show, we talk about estate planning and elder law. The idea behind estate planning is to pass assets from one generation to the next, paying the least amount in taxes we need to pay legally. We don't like paying taxes. We want to avoid going through court, avoiding probate. And as far as elder law is concerned, we try to save assets from nursing home bills. And as most of you know, we start the first part of the show with our attorneys. And I dare say right now we have, not offending anyone else, we have the most popular attorney on the radio show, the one that the listeners ask for the most, Nicole Donnelly. Welcome back, Nicole.
Hello, hello. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. And thank you to all the listeners for requesting me.
Right. Especially you got a following with some of the Irish listeners because your last name's Donnelly.
Well, our day is coming up, so it's very fitting.
Now, we'll talk about estate planning and whatever, but we all went to see Cabrini this past week. What did you think of the movie?
I absolutely adored the movie. I've never been glued to a screen after a long day of work. Let's put it that way. The way I was with Cabrini, it really is not what you expect, but everything that you need.
And why is that?
Because it's when you think of Cabrini and you think of a mother and a saint, you think you're going to get a lot of religious information and undertones in the movie. But it really wasn't about that. It was all about, it was something that no matter what religion you're from, you can really relate to. Because as a woman, it was really about women's empowerment to me. And that's what I took away from it. And she put herself in every room that she was told she wasn't supposed to be in. And I think even as like a man, sometimes you're told you're not supposed to be places, you're not supposed to do things, or you can't do things. And she just defied all odds and said, like, anything she put her mind to, she could do it.
Okay, it's an interesting way of doing it, but that is true. And she was a remarkable person. And, you know, and her name is still on. I mean, Cabrini is still well known. You know, a lot of charitable giving goes through the name Cabrini. And of course, if you want to do estate planning and you want to do something to charities, I mean, that's part of what we do. And give us a call at Connors and Sullivan. But Nicole's usual feature is estate planning gone wrong. And I think you brought up a good point just before we started this conversation. So give us an example of estate planning gone wrong.
So estate planning can go wrong when transparency lacks in families, right? So sometimes people go to the bank, they have beneficiary designations, they figure those designations are going to fall outside of any wills or trusts that they prepare with their attorney. And sometimes their intentions don't get honored by their family members because of either greed or incompetence. So we're going to discuss today, and I'm going to ask a question to Mr. Connor so he could explain it to you. Is beneficiary designations really as foolproof as the bank wants us to believe?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer to that is no. I mean, probably 80, 90% of the time, if you have somebody designated as beneficiary on your accounts at a bank, that person's going to get it. But, you know, and this happens all the time, and sometimes I can't even explain it. Somebody says, well, I'm going to give X amount of dollars to whatever, my friend who's not a relative, or even if they are a relative. And I'd say, you know, I would back that up in a will. Because what happens is, let's say you have a will leaving all your assets to one person or a couple of people, and you leave a bank account and trust for someone else. Well, it does leave the door open to litigation. Those people under your will, the executor under your will, can say that you weren't competent when you made the designated beneficiary change, or that it was under undue influence. They freeze the account. And everything, you know, all of a sudden, everything's in court. People are accusing people of different things. And it can be to, you know, a very unpleasant situation. And a lot of people say, well, I don't need a will because in my, you know, I have everything with beneficiary designations. And then they have a brother who's next of kin who gets appointed administrator of the estate because there is no will. And that brother goes around trying to undo all these things. And the problem today, if it goes to court, there's settlements. And people, some people have no shame in their allegations. I mean, sometimes you could have a brother you didn't speak to in 10, 20 years, all of a sudden come in, apply to be the administrator of the estate, and try to undo the designations, freeze the accounts. And, of course, once you freeze the accounts, you have a victory because the way the court system usually works, there's a settlement. And you're going to end up paying somebody else the money. And if you do have something that's a question of fact that could go to a jury, you never know how a jury is going to decide. And even if it's decided within the court itself, you don't know. Listen, it ain't a fair world out there. Sometimes, you know, there are prejudices and preconceived notions, like a home attendant shouldn't get any money, you know, because there have been abuses over the years, but maybe there is a home attendant who deserves a little something extra and should get something in an account. But I would, if you're going to do that, I would back it up. I would have a will with, you know, your plan in place. And of course, this is another thing that we're talking about. What if the bank loses the designations? You have an example of that right now, right?
I do. So right now we know for a fact that the clients did fill out designation forms. They've passed away. The company keeps saying they can't find it. Maybe it was done with the prior company and never passed over. Banks are not going to keep you informed and make you do anything you're not looking to do, right? So what happened here is we have one of two choices. We could either wait 10 years and collect the money, or we can go through court and let every creditor attach to this collections, which may or may not be worth it, all because the bank lost the paper. And they're not going to do anything about it. They're just going to tell you, I'm sorry. Today, the word sorry seems to fix everything, but it really doesn't fix anything.
Yeah, I'm going to give an example. I'm going to elucidate and give it a specific example. Let's say somebody applies for medical assistance, Medicaid, for either nursing home or home care. Well, technically, you can have a retirement account, let's say an IRA, a 401k, let's say an IRA in this case. And let's say you have $100,000 in your IRA. You can technically be eligible to apply for Medicaid and legitimately apply for Medicaid with a $100,000 IRA. But then let's say the bank, and the, most of the times that I've seen this happen is when banks change hands. Or institution change hands. And one bank takes over another, and somehow the computer system, which had named beneficiaries, gets wiped out. So the named beneficiary gets wiped out. And then, well, if we have a will, and the will at least has the same person as beneficiary, we can probate the will. But the problem here in that case, let's say the person's been on Medicaid for a couple of years. If you probate the will, Medicaid's going to put a claim in against the estate, which includes this $100,000 IRA, which otherwise would be protected if you had a beneficiary. And I know this sounds almost catch 22, but it is a problem in today's world. So that $100,000 is kind of like frozen. It's, you know, maybe lost forever. Maybe you let it go for abandoned property and pick it up years later and hope the Medicaid doesn't put a claim in against the estate. But here's the thing. You keep your beneficiary designations also. Don't expect the bank necessarily to keep all those beneficiary designations. Yes, 90% of the time, the bank has the beneficiary designations, but there is that 10% of the time where, again, usually when I've seen it is when one bank takes over another bank and somehow the beneficiary designations get lost in the mix, whether it's the computer programs don't jive or whatever reason it is, it happens. And so, one, keep the beneficiary designations because the bank will probably accept it if you have a signed copy in your possession. And two, and this is haphazard, but if you have your plan, which is your will should work with your estate planning. You should not have, let's say, a will that says I leave everything to my daughter and then have a trust that says I leave everything or I leave my house to my son. Because sometimes the question arises, which one is the intent? And two, was the person competent when they did one or the other? In other words, why would a person do, some people would say, why would a person do a will leaving everything to their daughter when they left the house to their son and their trust? And so the question is, were they mentally competent on one or the other? And of course, once you start getting into court, you're getting into accusations, you're getting into aggravation, you're getting into delays of years. And you never know exactly when you start going into the courthouse, you never know exactly when you're going to get out, if you're going to get out to some extent, and what's going to be the decisions in between. And unfortunately, most cases get settled, which means sometimes you give up more than you would want to give up to get out of that courthouse.
And just to piggyback off of that, is a will foolproof? If you're leaving everything to a home attendant, but you have a brother, you have a niece, you have kids that you want to disinherit and they haven't been there for you, and this home attendant really has and she deserves it or he deserves it, is it foolproof? Will whatever the testator wants to happen, happen?
Well, that's when, you know, if that's the case, and listen, I think, I would say in the majority of the cases we'd be involved in this, maybe the home attendant was overreaching and greedy. I think that was, you know, more likely than not. But there are people who the home attendant is the closest person in the world to them, and they do want to leave them something. But there's been so much fraud and overreaching, I would say, over the years by home attendants, because they have a vulnerable person, and they can say, sign here, sign there. And a lot of times, I know I was once, I once interviewed somebody who was supposedly a witness to the will, and the will left everything to the home attendant. And the witness to the will said, I thought I was witnessing the timesheets for the home attendant, you know, that she would get the money to be paid on a timesheet. I didn't know I was witnessing a will. And because there's been a lot of that fraud over the years, there's a lot of suspicion. But yes, there could be somebody who want to leave their home attendant something. Well, in that case, you better have a lawyer witness that will and some neutral people witnessing that will, and not somebody related to the home attendant, obviously. I know it sounds stupid, but you'd be surprised how many times people come in and they have a will, and the witnesses to the will are their two children or their cousins or their close friends. And right again, that will is suspicious. And if a will is suspicious, somebody could object to it. Somebody could have objections to the will, tie that will up in court for years, and again, you get into the courthouse again to buy your way out of the courthouse. You may be paying a lot more in a settlement than you may like to pay. So you should have a coordinated plan. Now, if you're in a position where you're going to do an estate plan and somebody's going to contest it, now who can contest your will? Your next of kin by law. And your next of kin, it depends on your family tree or whatever, but your spouse obviously is your next of kin, even in some cases an estranged spouse if you're still legally married. Your children, God forbid one of your children passes away, your grandchildren. You don't have children or grandchildren, you're not married, your next of kin could be your parents or the survivor of your parents. And in some cases, let's say you have a 95-year-old parent who's not mentally competent but has a guardian. Maybe the guardian of that parent can test your will, even though the parent may not if they were mentally competent. If your parents are gone, your brothers or sisters, one of your brothers or sisters passes away, their children, nephews and nieces. And, you know, a problem is, again, half brothers and sisters under the law are the same as full brothers and sisters under the law. So you may not, you may have a half brother you haven't seen in 30, 40 years, have virtually no contact. He's your father's son from a previous marriage and there's been no contact. But if you don't have children, grandchildren, you're not married, your parents are gone, that half brother may be one of your next of kin and can object to your will. And if that half-brother dies, his children step into his shoes. So you may have people you don't even know contesting your will.
And remember, we keep referring back to the home attendant, but we touched upon nieces and nephews. If you have one or two nieces and nephews that are really good to you, that are there for you, and you want to leave everything to them via will, your other nieces and nephews can contest. They're all treated the same.
And, of course, God forbid you don't have nephews and nieces or close relatives. Your next of kin by law are cousins, first cousins once removed, depending on the circumstances. And part of the problem is if you don't have relatives close than that, the court appoints different lawyers to protect either missing relatives or the public administrator steps in if their cousin's involved to make sure the will is valid. And again, you could get into very serious legal problems. You get into the courthouse and you got to buy your way to get out. So if you want to plan, what we try to do, let's say somebody's going to contest your will. What we like to do, assuming you're concerned about it, we do a will stating your wishes. A little bit later, we do a trust. Put a lot of your assets in the trust, again, stating your wishes. And then sometime after that, we do another will. So if somebody brings it to court, they've got to win three trials to upset your wishes. And of course, if you really want to go overboard, we can do another will a year from now or whatever. And you know, and it's very good evidence if somebody brings you to court and you have two wills signed on two different dates, not leaving that person who's contesting the will anything and on two different occasions spread apart, that puts you in a very good position where buying yourself out of the courthouse is not going to cost you as much. So if you're in a position where you do have somebody who can contest your will, and I know even as I'm saying this, there's some of you out there that are going to say, well, nobody's going to contest my will. I don't have relatives. That will can be contested. Believe me, somebody can find somebody who can contest your will. And if you don't have relatives, they publish in a newspaper, and then you may start dealing with court-appointed lawyers who may contest your will just out of spite. Or, you know, they don't like your lawyer, whatever it is.
Dare I say it's actually harder to probate a will for someone who thinks they have no relatives. Would you agree on that one?
Yeah, it is, because you got to publish in newspapers. You got to deal with court-appointed lawyers. You got to deal with the public administrator. And whenever you get caught in the bureaucracy, it always takes longer than you'd like it to take. It's just the nature of the game. So we want to avoid probate. You avoid probate when you pass away. There are no assets in your name alone when you pass away. And it's not that hard to do, but you can't take a simplified approach. You can say, I have beneficiary in all my bank accounts, and that's it. Do a will, basically having the same plan, or do a will with an executor who is sympathetic to your plan. Always, always, you should have a will. That goes without saying. And the world is getting more complicated every year. There's more litigation over joint accounts in the last few years than I've ever seen before. You know, and depending, some people don't even realize it. They open up a joint account. They don't know what language the bank put on the account, whether it's truly right of survivorship or not. Sometimes they don't put right of survivorship. And again, is that joint account then subject to, you know, either intestacy if you have no will or according to your will? So estate planning is getting more complicated because the world's getting more complicated. People are becoming more litigious. And you got to assume there's going to be somebody out there who's going to try to upset your plan. Because especially when you're gone, one, they may not know absolutely what your plan is. And people are not as trusting in this world as they used to be. Do you have any more comments? Or
I do. It pains me to say it, but what you've described here is making the plan almost dummy-proof, where no judge can pick it up, read it, the same plan four times in a row, and say, well, maybe they made a mistake, right? They would have to... This is making it dummy-proof, and it's becoming harder not only because the world is becoming harder, but because people are making more... They're becoming more interested, and they're creating more avenues of which they can sell an estate plan, right? And I hate to bring this up, but you know I'm a big proponent of do not do it yourself. Do not buy a kit that you cannot read. Do not buy a kit that the lawyer who's selling it to you can't read, right? And that's a big one. It's coming up. They're charging a lot of money. People are paying without asking questions. And just remember, guys, if you go to any alleged estate planning attorney and say, I want to change my deed, and they say, okay, what do you want it to say? Red flag. Do not move forward. Say, I need to go. I need to leave. I need to go see Mr. Connors. I need to see Nicole. I need to see somebody at Connors and Sullivan. Why is your lawyer asking you what you want your deed to say? I have questions. You should too.
Well, especially like the legal formalities, yes. And I mean, some of those books, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but some of those books, you read them, you cannot make heads or tails out of them. Page 15 contradicts page 17. Page 17 contradicts page 21. Page 21 contradicts page 13. And you could go in circles and not figure out what it means. And of course, sometimes some of those things use very generalized terms, like, you know, my issue or my children. And maybe you got a child from a previous marriage that you don't want included, but inadvertently you are. And of course, that's especially, you know, you say something to my children, or maybe your son has a child from out of marriage, he passes away before you, and then somebody you really didn't intend to be part of your will gets included in some of those kits. And listen, it could happen in any circumstance, but it's certainly more likely to happen in one of those kits where nobody really understands what's in there and what you're signing or not.
And just beware, guys, there's this new wave of lawyers coming out. They're calling themselves family planning lawyers, legacy lawyers, all these interesting names. If you really dig into their background and look at what they came from or what they were doing beforehand, the chances are is it's not estate planning, it's not trust and estates, it's not elder law. You know, just be very weary.
And another thing, too, is taxes. A lot of people really don't look at taxes. There are different taxes we got to worry about. One, yes, death taxes we have to worry about. Now, for New York, right now, basically, there's not really an estate tax under $7 million. But some people can be at $7 million and not know it, you know, because, oh, my insurance doesn't count. Yes, if you can change the beneficiary on your insurance plan, it's part of your taxable estate. Oh, my 401k doesn't count. Yes, it does, as far as taxes are concerned. And like say, oh, well, the accounts joint with my sister don't count. Yes, they do. And of course, sometimes if you have an aggressive auditor and you have a joint account with your sister and your sister's Social Security number is first and your sister's paying the taxes on all that money, the IRS is still going to say, hey, depending on how aggressive the auditor is, that whole account belongs to you, because the IRS says that if somebody died and they can get taxes out of it, and the New York State Tax Department takes the same position, that if it's a joint account and we can say the whole account belongs to the decedent and we can get more in taxes, we're going to do that. And some people get very surprised when they get in the middle of an audit. Now, at that point, yeah, you can try to prove whose account is what. But, of course, the reason for this is a lot of times when you have, let's say, a mother and daughter and they have a joint account, 90% of the time, if not more, the money really belongs to mom, not the daughter. So 90% of the time, the IRS or New York State, who's ever handling the audit, they're right. But still, there's the 10% of the people, let's say, where the daughter's working and she's living with mom and she's putting money into the joint account with mom and she's unexpectedly bringing up mom's joint account. And the things I think when we've had it mostly are like brothers or sisters or two sisters who live together and share expenses and they have joint accounts. And you don't really know who owns the money going into the account, but But the IRS in New York State, depending on what the taxing authority is, going to take the most aggressive position that gets the state or the federal government more money in taxes. And listen, the one thing I don't want your family to do is pay taxes. So if you want to come in and talk it over, please do so. We don't want your family to pay more in either income taxes, estate taxes, or any kind of tax. Because there's some guys out there that will give you the book and you'll save on estate taxes, and then you get killed in capital gains taxes. That doesn't help you. We want a plan that tries to take advantage. Sometimes we go through the computer. If we do A, it'll incur $10,000 worth of estate taxes, but save $50,000 in capital gains taxes, and okay, maybe we go ahead and do it. We want to get a plan that's going to maximize your tax planning, that's going to maximize the savings to your family. We don't want your children or whoever your heirs are to pay more in taxes than we need to pay legally. We don't want to commit fraud. We want to pay what we owe, but we want to take full advantage of the tax laws to get as much of your life's earnings. You worked hard for your estate to build it up. We want that to go to your kids. We don't want it to go to the government. So if you want to give us a call at Connors and Sullivan, please do so at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And if you have a relative that speaks Spanish, suggest you speak to Nicole.
Please do. Nobody else can help you.
Yeah, because there have been a couple of times I've been sitting out there in one of our offices and, you know, I can't help you.
Not going to get very far.
Right. So if you speak Spanish, you got a relative that speaks Spanish, give Nicole a call and ask her to meet with your relative. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be talking to Joe Piscopo right now about a variety of different things, including my family history, Cabrini, and Catholic Charities.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older and are finding it harder to pay off debt, or how about enjoying your retirement years with less stress, a home equity conversion mortgage may be the answer for you and your family. Hi, this is Frank Melia, a certified mortgage planner, and I've helped countless homeowners all over the tri-state area tap into a little or a lot of their home equity so they can use it right now. Give me a call so our team here at Contour Mortgage can show you how the loan program works and how much you and your family may qualify for. My job is to help you find the best solution for your retirement goals. I do this by educating homeowners with straightforward information and answers. It's free to call and speak with me, Frank Melia, to determine if this mortgage program might be able to help you and your loved ones now. Call and speak with me. I'll answer your questions and help you decide if a reverse mortgage is right for you and your family. Make the call now, 888-954-7463. Once again, that's 888-954-7463, and you could be on your way to a better retirement. Frank Melia, NMLS number 62591, Contour Mortgage Corporation, NMLS number 34384, 990 Stewart Avenue, Suite 660, Garden City, New York, 11530, Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services.
I'm in a good place in my life.
And I'm energized by new adventures.
I've got friends to laugh with.
And a good relationship.
But even though I'm kind of comfortable,
I sometimes wonder, is there something more?
Could God and church be what you're looking for? Come and see at CatholicsComeHome.com.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit ccbq.org.
J.
Joe Piscopo on the radio. Mike Connors is the attorney at law at Connors and Sullivan, the law firm that I tell you about. And he's hosted, by the way, Ask the Lawyer, airing Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. right here on AM 970, The Answer. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. So great to have you with us, sir.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Joe. Happy St. Joseph's Day.
Thank you, sir. And by the way, kudos to you and to Beth and to Michael Jr. I got to tell you, that was the best event that I've been to, the Cabrini screening. It turned out sold out. And thank you for making that happen. That was really from the heart. And everybody seemed to love the film. Yes, Mike?
Yeah, everybody loves that film. It's a great film. It's much better than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be one of these Christian, you know, sugar-coated films. And it's really a good, powerful film.
It really, really well done. And when they it's so funny because I know these guys for a long time, Eustace and the guys that were producing the film and working with the Cabrini Foundation. And your name kept coming up. They said, well, Mike is this, Mike none. And you get involved in these wonderful things. I said, no, I know Mike very well. And then they were so excited that you were doing a screening. And it's so nice to present something that's a feel-good movie, but you're absolutely right. It was shot like a major film, and it really had the twists and turns and celebrate. And there you are, an Irish guy celebrating an Italian Cabrini. I love you for that, Mike Connors. I got to tell you. You never forget about your Italian buddies, you know?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We're all Catholic. You know, we may have forgotten it sometimes, but we're all Catholic.
It's so true. It was great. Hey, Mike, so tell me about, you are a historian. And it was great that we started to talk to some law enforcement guys. And I had my buddy from the New Jersey State Police. You had a lieutenant colonel there. There was somebody else that was retired. And they turned to you when we started to look to history. Now, let me ask you this. Your love of Civil War, your love of Irish history, of that, what piqued that? What started that with you, Mike Connors?
I don't know. It's just natural. It's something I always liked history. I remember my parents brought me to Gettysburg around 1958 when I was 7 years old, and I fell in love with the place. And, you know, I've been back there 30 times since. The Civil War is just such a fascinating part of history. And as you know, I was president of the Civil War Roundtable in New York for a few years, and I got to meet, you know, dozens of, if not hundreds of historians, you know, in that period.
Yeah, and it's amazing. If you go to Connors and Sullivan, and we invite you to do that, and I want to thank you, Mike Connors, for always being there for me and my family. I'll tell you right on the air, we appreciate everybody, Eugene at the office, and yourself, and in Manhattan, and all the locations. But when you go in to Brooklyn, that's a museum there. Mike, you got that. I mean, you got Civil War paraphernalia that I've never seen before. Where do you collect all that stuff, if I may ask?
Well, it's an internet and a worldwide project there, you know, from Asia, Europe, wherever, you know, it's all over the world. That's what the internet does for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's fabulous. Hey, Mike, so tell us about how your family came from Ireland. Because, hey, by the way, Jerry, this is all Jerry Crowley's impetus. He said, look, I'm so sick of the guys with the vowels at the end of their name on the morning show. We're always talking about the Italians. So Jerry goes, I'm taking it home on St. Patrick's Day. So tell us about your Irish connection, Mike Connors, please.
Well, I'm gonna start with my grandfather because he was a remarkable man. He was a sea captain from Newfoundland. Got a commission out of Puerto Rico, was in the Spanish-American War. He did his part in the Spanish-American War. He was in World War I, and he imbued faith in country. And, you know, my father was a combat infantryman in World War II. His brothers served in the Atlantic and Pacific. And one thing about my grandfather, he had seven male grandchildren. All seven of us served in the military in the 60s and 70s. And I don't think too many families can say that, and we're proud of that. And not only that, he was on the building committee of Our Lady of Angels Church, where you and I went to Mass once.
Yeah, beautiful.
That was in the early 1920s, and that's the same church today that my family goes to. And, you know, it's part of history, you know, and it's God and country. And he loved this country. He did everything he could for it. He imbued that to his sons and his grandchildren. And he was a great man, which the whole family, I'm named for him. My son is named for him. Actually, my son was born on his birthday, so that's how he got his name.
Wow. That's absolutely beautiful. And then you got to tell me this, if I may, and I don't mean to pry, but I love the story of you and Beth. I love Beth, a Southern belle who was singing with with Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians. And how did you guys meet again, Mike?
At a conservative party dinner in 1977, Mike Long was there. Actually, you know, Cabrini, meaning Mike Long's widow, Eileen, was there too.
Ah.
God bless him.
That was good. And a shout out for Michael, your son. What a great kid. What a knowledgeable kid. And I love that you keep your faith. And I want to ask you some questions about estates, but before I go there, your connection with the Catholic Church, your connection with taking me over to St. Pat's and me seeing parts of St. Pat's I didn't even know existed, except when I'm with Mike and Beth. I said, wow, there's a chapel underneath the chapel. And then it was amazing. Your connection with St. Patrick's in New York, please.
Well, that's through Legatus, which Eustace is, you know, a member of Legatus.
Right.
So it's an organization formed by Tom Monahan, who's one of the great men of our times. You know, he founded Domino's Pizza. He owned the Detroit Tigers. He sold it all and gave it to charity. And he started this organization of Catholic CEOs. And, you know, I joined about 15 years ago. And when I joined, Tom Monahan came over to New York, took me out to lunch, just us, one-on-one. And he's a great man, a down-to-earth guy, and he has done so much, you know, for the military veterans, for people in Latin America, building hospitals down there, starting churches, law schools, you know, in the U.S., you can't even list all the accomplishments this man has put together. And that's Tom Monahan. Of course, he's Irish, too. So, give him a shout out.
What's the place in Florida that he has that you always tell me about that is great?
Ave Maria.
And it's still there, and it's like oasis. It's like this oasis in the middle of the United States that's like this idyllic little neighborhood. How big is it? Is it a big, big town?
Well, I mean, for guys like us from New York, I wouldn't call it a big town. It's a nice little town. It's got a couple of restaurants, you know, a couple of bars, some stores here and there. But it's a complex, and, you know, it's based on, you know, a cathedral right in the middle of the town square. It's a place of faith, and that's what Tom Monahan's all about.
I love it. I got to see it. You know, I got to see that. I got to get down there, Mike. Mike, before we let you go, preparing for an estate. You know, I didn't want to talk about it. I came to see you. You made it so easy. If someone's listening, and then we want to tell us about, first of all, preparing for an estate, what you can do, and about what we could look forward to on Ask the Lawyer, your great radio show, sir.
Well, I think, first of all, we just talk about planning. What do you want to do? That's the question. What do you want to do? Come in, we talk it over, and I'll try to give you a plan. You know, I've been doing this for over 40 years, so I can come up with a plan pretty quickly. So tell me what you want to do. You know, and we'll try to accomplish that plan. And again, I've been doing it for a few years, so usually I can come up with a conclusion.
Yeah, and then what are we looking for on Ask the Lawyer? That's this weekend.
Right. We're going to be talking about estate planning. We're going to talk about Catholic Charities. You know, I'm involved with Catholic Charities in Brooklyn, Queens. Monsignor Lapinto is going to be on and talk about, and I tell you, he is a brilliant man who, you know, had some experiences to share with us about Cabrini, because his parents came over in that time period. And he runs like 100 different programs from Catholic Charities of Brooklyn, Queens. You know him. Again, he was at the Cabrini event the other day, too.
Yep. Saw the Monsignor there. It was great. And then I think I'm going to do the event for the Catholic Charities again coming up. Marty Goldman, he put the arm on me quick the other night. So I said, I know, Marty, I'll be there. You know, Marty Golden.
So
hey, Mike.
Say no to Marty, otherwise he'll bug you to hell.
He's a great guy. Mike, to you and Beth, to Michael, we are so proud to have you with us on the radio. Thanks for all that you've done for my family, my brother. I appreciate it so very, very much. We invite everybody to go to ConnorsandSullivan.com, but it's not a commercial. It's more like a neighborhood community feel when you go to Connors and Sullivan. And that comes from the love that you, Mike, and Beth have for all of us, and we appreciate that so much. Happy St. Patrick's Day, my friend.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Joe. Happy St. Joseph's Day.
Thank you, sir. Mike Connors right there. 7:50, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Debbie's on the roads on AM 970, The Answer.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home?
What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors. Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors & Sullivan. In Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500 or ConnorsandSullivan.com.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit ccbq.org.
Do you know how many Christians live in the Middle East? 6 million people. Do you know how many Christians need your help? Every single one. Do you know what we can do? With St. Francis in Beirut, we can give them hope. We can give them medicines. We can give them medical equipment. We can give them everything they're looking for. Because some others decided to remove Christianity from the Middle East. But if we will help them every single day, not just to feed them or clothing, it's all about giving them another day with the idea that they are recognized, that we love them, they're our cousins, sisters, they're our roots. So St. Francis in Beirut, it's all about helping Christians. And you can be part of that help too.
If you want to help Father Paul in his mission, send your donations to St. Francis in Beirut, 213 Stanton Street, New York, New York, 10002.
This is Patrick Wayne. I had the good fortune to be raised by a man of strength and courage, a man of true grit. My father, John Wayne, died of stomach cancer in 1979, and in his characteristic style, he ignored advice to keep his disease quiet and campaigned publicly to encourage preventive treatment. He inspired our family to carry on that mission and to fight what my dad called the Big C. All this has been made possible by my father's legacy of determination and a community of supporters who have helped expand upon that legacy.
If you'd like to know more about what the Wayne family is doing to fight cancer, just go to johnwayne.org.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. Again, thanks to Joe Piscopo. And, you know, we saw Joe Piscopo at the Cabrini showing on, you know, March 12th. Beth, that was the first time you and I saw the show, right? What did you think about it?
I thought it was very good. And for the things that you brought up earlier, it doesn't just hit you over the head. I don't want to say it's a religious movie in that it's a movie of faith, and it's about Cabrini. Her faith made her an extraordinary human being, and that's what the movie is about, an extraordinary human being filled with faith. So it's more about the person. And I know one of the people said, well, they didn't talk about Jesus that much, but you know what? It was just a part of her. I think sometimes that's the way great people really are. You know, and I know that it's a movie's always an interpretation, but it followed exactly what happened in her life. So it's not like Hollywood sometimes where they just go off some tangent talking about a historical figure and it has nothing to do with what happened with that historical event or that historical person. But this, they followed her life. It wasn't nice. She saw very sad, awful things, and she created a network run by women. How many hospitals? How many? It all over the world. So I think it's an extraordinary woman. I mean, these were great women who ran hospitals and schools on their own before women had the right to vote. Think of that. It's a good movie. And if you want to take, anybody is going to be inspired. But, you know, particularly if you happen to be a young woman and for whatever reason you feel like, you know, you're not being able to get ahead the way you want to get ahead, well, go watch this movie and just don't feel sorry for yourself. You know, keep working at what you want to do, what you know. That's why too many people complain. Stop complaining. She didn't complain. She fought for things. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. What'd you think about it?
I enjoyed the movie. Again, when I first heard about this movie, maybe about a year ago, I said, how can a movie about a nun be that interesting? I really did. I really didn't think it was going to be a good film. You know, and let's face it, sometimes you've seen some films, a couple on Padre Pio, that I did not think were good films, you know, and I was afraid this was going to be somewhat of the same. But fortunately, I was mistaken, and this was a good film, a good, solid film with a good story to tell. And
right.
You don't get that, out of Hollywood anymore.
Michael, what do you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. I thought it was, you know, and I mean, it's all the credit in the world to Angel Studios for putting these kinds of things out there. Because, I mean, a lot of people are only just realizing Angel Studios is actually primarily funded by the Mormon Church. So the fact that they're giving olive branches out to Catholics and everything else and trying to promote just generally good values, I think, is something that's been lacking in the media scene for a long time now.
And, just, you know, like we're talking about the power of films, more than a few times in the last 2 weeks in our office, people have been talking about The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And, I mean, you were involved in one of the conversations,
right.
Beth, but it's come up more than a few times.
I don't know how. Do you bring it up?
No, people bring it up sometimes.
All right. You know, everybody knows here we talk about John Ford movies, John Ford, John Wayne, their collaboration, all these magnificent movies, and The Searchers. Y'all have heard about The Searchers and everything. Well, I really think that my favorite John Ford, John Wayne movie is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And the reason, and people, you know, what? But the story revolved, I saw it when I was young, and it really, for me, the most important person in the thing was the woman. The young woman who had two suitors. And to my mind, she chose the wrong one. And at the end of the movie, you know, they're on the train. One of them dies. The one that she really loved died. And but she had married the other one, and he was famous and all this other stuff. But for me, as a young girl, I'm thinking, don't marry the wrong person. Because at the end of the movie, the train is going back to Washington or wherever, and the conductor comes up and all the accolades go to her husband. But he knows he's a shell. He knows that his life was built on this one lie. And so does she. And they look away from each other, and it's just the saddest thing. So my whole thing was, from the beginning, yes, you had John Wayne, and you had Jimmy Stewart, and you had Lee Marvin and all these awful bad men, and you had John Carradine and the rah-rah-rah of the politics, but it was the life, the one person that's all the way from the beginning to the end is this young woman, and everything that revolves around her life and her choices. And it was just so sad for me.
Well, in the meanwhile, maybe we should get back to business. Michael, we got seminars coming up in April, and people
yes,
have been asking
we do.
Me all the time when we're going to do our next set of seminars. So our schedule's out now for the end of April. So, Michael, let's go give it the dates.
All right. So we're starting this time on a Wednesday, April 24th, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. at Connolly's Corner, 7115 Grand Avenue, Queens. Thursday, April 25th, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at Don Roberto's Classic Italian, 616 Forest Avenue, Staten Island, New York. Friday, April 26th, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Adria Hotel and Conference Center, 22117 Northern Boulevard, Bayside, New York. And then we get past the weekend into Monday, April 29th, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. right here in Bay Ridge at the Greenhouse Cafe, 7717 3rd Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. And finally, Tuesday, April 30th, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at Buckley's Restaurant and Caterers, 2926 Avenue S, Brooklyn.
Yeah, one warning on that. The Monday night showing in Bay Ridge at the Greenhouse Cafe is going to be taped.
That's right.
Yeah, because we have another event to go to, which came in. We're changing the schedule around a little bit because of the Passover holiday, and things got a little jungled. And I apologize, but we will have the seminar on, I don't know if you call it videotape or whatever you call it now, and Nicole Donnelly is going to be there answering your questions live, and you'll be hearing me on, you know, the DVR or whatever. But again, if you want to learn about estate planning, we give it a long hour. I think we're able to satisfy most of the people in the audience. We can answer your questions. There's no one right answer for everybody. That's why you talk it over. And you try to get a feel for what you want to accomplish, what your financial situation is, what you can afford, and we go from there. And again, if you want to attend one of our seminars, please do so. At the end of the seminar, we usually have people there with our schedules, and you can schedule a free initial consultation with one of our attorneys. If you want to schedule from me, you're more than welcome to schedule from me. You're more than welcome to do that. You may have to wait a few weeks or so to see me, but you're more than welcome to see me, and I look forward to seeing everybody who's at the seminars. Meanwhile, we're going to be back on the radio next week at the same time and places. Thank you for listening to Ask the Lawyer.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Sing this soul away. We are gathered here on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
We are gathered here
on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
Kevin McCullough, are you or your parents' assets protected from nursing home bills? Did you know these bills can exceed $15,000 a month? People work their entire lives to live comfortably in retirement, but when people become ill and need to go to a nursing home or receive home care, the bills can drain their assets, leaving many people bankrupt. The good news is that you can prevent that from happening if you plan in advance. Connors and Sullivan's lawyers can customize a plan that specifically protects your interests, including your home. Schedule a free comprehensive telephone consultation with Mike Connors to discuss your issues and concerns from the security of your home. Call today, 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. Don't let nursing home bills take your life's savings and leave you and your loved ones bankrupt. Don't wait another minute. Mike Connors can take you through the process by telephone and start a plan designed for you today. That's 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.